is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Show some love, go there and donate, and also go to nationalbugle.com, download the Koshertified app with great new functions. You'll see, it's fun to use, and all sorts of new functions. Today, being Monday, is the day we talk to Mark Collett on the other side of the pond. Mark, how are you doing?
Very well, and it's been a very, very eventful day here. Over the last few hours, we have seen another attack on a patriotic politician. We've seen another affront to democracy. And of course, the newspapers and the left and the liberals are absolutely crowing about this
and showing their true colors. Another beverage attack? Could it be?
Indeed. We have seen Nigel Farage, the most high profile of the patriotic politicians in the UK. He has been attacked whilst campaigning out in Newcastle. Somebody came at him and threw a milkshake all over him. And this is causing absolute waves, because if you go on Twitter now and you look up Nigel Farage, if you do a quick search of him and see the sort of the latest tweets, you can see that a lot of people are actually, commending the attacker. You know, the same people who, you know, cry when somebody uses the wrong pronouns for a man dressed as a woman and claim these misgenderings should be punished by jail time, are now absolutely laughing their heads off, claiming that this is legitimate political discourse, claiming that assault is in fact a legitimate way of voicing your grievances against a politician you don't agree with.
And of course, the same people were applauding the sucker punching of Richard Spencer not too long ago, who, by the way, I've heard rumors that Richard Spencer is going to be the guest on your show this week.
Richard Spencer is indeed going to be the guest on the show. And it's good you brought that up, because one thing that people keep saying is, you know, here's Richard Spencer. You know, here's this gif of Richard Spencer, this little animated image of Richard Spencer being punched. So every time you say this is wrong, you know, these people post this little image and say, no, it's right. It's right to attack people. It's right to punch Nazis. It's right to throw milkshakes over people. Well, I hope that the left remember their bile. I hope they remember the rules they're laying down in the future. Because if you live by the milkshake, you may well die by the milkshake.
Richard Spencer, as I recall, in 2017, in April, after Trump's first going off the rails and bombing the Syrian military installations in response to the baby gas mask meme, Richard Spencer was the only person who organized a anti-war demonstration in front of the White House, and he got chased away by Antifa. And the police had to protect him and escort him away. He couldn't finish his demonstration because of the pro-war Antifa. Tells you a lot.
Exactly. These people have the biggest double standards. Well, the only standards they have are double standards. They have no standards other than double standards. And their behavior here in Britain, we've seen people attacked, we've seen people had milkshakes thrown over them, we've seen gangs of masked Muslims throwing bricks at registered candidates. We are now seeing the complete escalation of violence here in the UK by leftists, by liberals, by Muslims, and you have people like the odious homosexual Owen Jones, who writes for The Guardian, who is now saying, you know, that this is right, this is great, this is he's upholding the right of people to throw milkshakes over politicians. I wonder what Owen Jones would say if somebody started throwing milkshakes over a journalist or threw a milkshake over him. I'll tell you now, he would call it a hate crime. It would be an affront to democracy. He would bring his sexuality into it. These people are absolutely shameless, but they are ratcheting up the tensions in the UK. They are polarizing society, and ultimately, they are drawing these political battle lines in a way that we haven't seen probably since before the Second World War.
Mm. You know, the people who throw things at nationalist or patriotic protesters or politicians, they do have a history of throwing not simply food products, but also what comes out at the opposite end of the digestive process. I mean, this is something that they've done a lot of. They've thrown feces, they've thrown urine, and it might all seem like fun and games if it's a McDonald's milkshake, but who knows what's going to be in these things?
Well, this is the big issue, especially when it comes to Muslims. I mean, we have seen a horrific rise in attacks involving noxious substances, involving acid. Mm-hmm. We have seen the rise of this in London. We've seen the rise of this in areas that have been, how can I say it, heavily enriched by Muslims. And sooner or later, how do we know that somebody isn't going to be campaigning and somebody walks up with a plastic cup that looks like a milkshake container, that looks like a McDonald's cup, that, you know, would normally have something in it relatively harmless, like a soft drink or a milkshake, but instead it will be filled with acid or filled with some kind of corrosive, material, mm-hmm. that is, or corrosive substance that's going to cause serious or grievous bodily damage. And you might even say, you know, would be a case of attempted murder, because you can, you know, you can lose an eye, you can have your face burnt off, but you can also be killed in mm-hmm. these attacks. And when there is that threat and it is a real and present danger, everybody who is encouraging this kind of activity is really in some way culpable for this kind of behavior. Because I am telling you now, if I was to tweet out that a certain group of people should be targeted for any kind of assault, even if it was just something as innocuous as, you know, having a, you know, balls of toilet tissue thrown at them, I can tell you, my Twitter would be gone. But right now, you are seeing people with blue check marks, with thousands of supporters, saying, making this out to be something like, as if it's absolutely hilarious. And even Reuters have come out and said this: Nigel Farage shaken but unhurt in milkshake attack. You know, even
they could have said shaken, not stirred, but whatever.
But you can see that what we've got here is an absolute sort of perversion of democracy. Well, it's not really, because we know democracy is just a facade, but you can see now that we are living in a time of the ultimate double standards, and a time where there is going to be political violence. That political violence is being ratcheted up, and the political violence is being endorsed by the media, by celebrities, and by leftists and liberals all over social networks, the same social networks which are shutting people down for simply having an opinion. So somebody like me may post a link to a social network, a news link, a completely factual piece of evidence to support our belief that mass migration is not good for the Western world, and we are being shut down for posting facts. Mm-hmm. But these leftists are being allowed, you know, blue check mark leftists are being allowed to essentially say what they want, and they are being allowed to promote violence. And the guy who threw this milkshake, just for the record, this guy is one of these fat, bearded, freakish, soy boy looking gimps. I mean, he looks like a complete state. The kind of person who's in his late 30s, living at home in his mum's basement, you know, having an imaginary relationship with an anime character because he'll never get a real woman. This person is a freak, and he is really just the kind of person I'd expect to be doing something like this, a misfit, somebody who, if he actually had to live in the real world, if he actually had to mix with normal people, you can see he wouldn't get on with them. One look at his stupid, fat, bearded face says it all. And he's going to be rather smug about this, but I hope he bumps into some people, you know, who may wish to tell him and educate him on the error of his ways. Because people like that, they need a stern talking to.
Mm-hmm. You think of all of the blue checkmark Twitter people who came out condemning and even calling for violence against those high school kids from Covington, Kentucky, who allegedly smirked at an American Indian elder, when actually it was clear from the beginning for anybody who bothered to review the footage that this American Indian had approached, had walked up to them and tried to intimidate them, and they were just standing waiting for a bus. And one, you know, one even called for the young man, his name was Sandman, Ryan Sandman, I think, to be thrown into a wood chipper, and others were saying he's got a punchable face. They're calling for violence. And it was major news. It dominated the news cycle for at least a week. This horror, and when Ryan Sandman was being interviewed on a national morning television show aimed at women and children getting ready for school, the host said, "Don't you think you should apologize? Don't you think there was something aggressive about just standing there?" And yet, you know, we had this past week, it was revealed that an illegal alien from Kenya has killed 11 old women. He works in a nursing home. He's killed 11 old women in order to steal their jewelry, and now there's investigations into about 100 other mysterious or unaccounted for deaths. That I haven't seen anything of that in the mainstream news. It's in local news where it happened, but there's no outrage over mass murder. And yet, fake news about a 16-year-old high school kid allegedly smirking dominates the news for a week. I mean, isn't it obvious that something's wrong? How can people not say, wow, things are just seriously wrong here? And not just seriously wrong, but it's clearly anti-white. It's not just randomly anti-wrong.
Exactly. And this man's name is Paul Crowther. He's 32 years old. His Twitter handle is @TheMadBrewery. And he works at Sky UK in customer services. So he isn't actually unemployed, as I thought he might be.
But he's not going to lose his job over this, is he?
I don't know. Oh my God, he's wearing a Street Fighter 2 t-shirt as well. Oh, I love Street Fighter 2. That's ruined my day, that has, Patrick.
Your day was bad enough as it was.
Street Fighter 2 champ. And here's this fat bearded soy boy taking my hobby. Oh my God.
He's taking your hobby. Well, what about, who is his 2D waifu? You said he was in love with an anime character.
He definitely is now. I mean, you can see this, but, you know, what a disgrace. How dare that man besmirch something I love? But yes, he is a complete freak. But the more important point is, as you were saying, and I think you brought up the perfect comparison here. People were calling for young men to be murdered for simply smiling at a Native American. Yet here we have people actually carrying out assault against registered political candidates, and the same people that were calling for young men to be murdered, the same group of people, the same liberal fanatics calling for young men to be murdered for merely smiling, are now calling for those carrying out actual assault to be held up and lionized as champions or heroes of the people. And I think we're coming to a time here where you can genuinely say there is this giant divide. There is no real middle ground in society. There is a giant divide. You're either with us or you are, in fact, against us. And the left has been saying that very same thing for a long time. You're either with us or against us. And you have all these blue check marks. You have these journalists. You have these, you have these people who are, you know, celebrities, you have actors, you have directors, and they are all here now. I'm just flicking through it on Twitter now, condoning this attack, holding the attacker up as a hero, and they are saying that this is okay. And as I said, and this is a bold thing, so I want people to understand this, and I want people to remember I said this, when dissident right politician has a cup of noxious substance thrown in his face and he's grievously injured, the people who have been egging these thugs on to do things like this, they will have blood on their hands, because this is a very, very serious and disturbing trend.
It's a trend. Dr. Duke announced today, just minutes ago, really, that there's a lawsuit, a frivolous lawsuit, but it's being launched against him for having attended the Charlottesville rally 2 summers ago. So supposedly, I mean, he wasn't even announced guest. He wasn't a speaker. He did show up, but nobody knew he was going to show up. And apparently somebody who had been injured in the car accident after James Field's car was attacked is suing Dr. Duke. He wasn't an organizer. He wasn't calling for violence. And I suppose it's really a frivolous lawsuit intended to waste his resources defending himself. This is a common tactic. The whole idea that he could be blamed for something is so ridiculous. Whoever might have been injured, and I don't know who it was yet, most of the people who were injured were actually in the act of attacking the car. The others were illegally blocking traffic while this James Fields was being attacked and trying to flee.
So with this thing then, I mean, obviously, what are the grounds to link Dr. David Duke to this? Because
he's Satan, that's why.
I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. That's more or less like saying that if you attend a rally and somebody at that rally does something which is unpalatable or untoward or criminal to somebody else at that rally, then more or less, because you were there, you are culpable too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, I've been working with David Duke. I've known David Duke for a long time. I've known him for over 10 years, and I've worked with him for quite a number of years now closely. And I'll say this, I have rarely met anyone who is so committed to peace and so vehemently opposes any form of violence in politics as Dr. Duke does.
That's right. Well, we will be right back after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
And we are back. Well, Thursday is election day in the EU. And Britain, it's in the EU. How did that all happen? I thought you all left a couple...
The election that shouldn't be taking place.
3 years ago. Wasn't Brexit 3 years ago?
It certainly wasn't. Yet here we are. And, basically, we are... in a European election that we shouldn't be in. We are going to the polls on Thursday. And this, as I said, is, you know, the reason Nigel Farage is covered in milkshake, because essentially he's out campaigning to make sure that really this election never took place. He's saying, look, this election should never have taken place. This election is something that should have never happened here in the UK, because we should be out. And he's campaigning for his new party, the Brexit Party. And, this is when he was attacked. But you are correct. We should have left the EU. In fact, we should have left the EU on March the 29th of this year, but we haven't. So now we are tied in to another round of European elections. But this round of elections has not only been more fractious than any post-Second World War election, but also... It has the potential to completely rewrite the rules on elections and also completely change the political landscape here in the UK.
OK, Okay, now the elections, the European Union elections, the election for the European Parliament, and the regular British elections for your own parliament in Westminster, they're different systems. And the European system, you have big regions, and half a dozen or a dozen winners can be from each region. Whereas the elections for your own national parliament follow the same single seat jurisdictions that our Congress follows, the House of Representatives, where there's a district and one person wins in the district. You know, it's basically winner take all, and so that winner take all system favors a 2-party system. How is it that you can have UKIP basically winning the European election outright, winning, you know, having the plurality of the votes, and it was led by Nigel Farage, who has been attacked by a milkshake, and then this time it may well be that Nigel Farage's new party, the Brexit Party, could win outright, and yet in your national elections he gets maybe one person elected or maybe zero people elected. That's pretty extreme difference. Is there any possibility that not that Nigel Farage is your hero, but that Nigel Farage is going to ever be a force in national elections?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I'm pleased you asked it, because if I wanted you to ask me anything tonight, it would be something like that. And the reason being, UKIP won the last European parliamentary election when Nigel Farage was at the helm. Now, that translated into UKIP taking 5 million votes at the next general election, but because it's a first-past-the-post system, he didn't receive any representation. But that was when the Conservative Party was still seen as a party of governance, as a party people could trust, whereas now they are not. Now they are seen as an absolute, abject joke. And I predicted something very bold on this show and on my own show, Patriotic Weekly Review. I stated that I believe that Brexit Party would win with 30 to 35% of the vote. I believed Labour would come second. And I said that the Tories would be pushed into a distant third. I said that the Liberal Democrats would also benefit, and they would rebound significantly from the last European election, and they would take a lot of the hardcore Remain vote. Then I made one final prediction, that UKIP would most likely not get a single seat. And so far, I'm holding to that. However, interesting sort of polling data has been released today, sort of to suggest, well, it's not really polling data, it's a sort of polling predictions based on data that has been collected by different agencies that try to predict how people are going to vote on the day. But the latest polls suggest, the latest polling data suggests that, in fact, the Conservatives might not come third. And some of your listeners might think, oh, what, are they having, you know, a change in their fortunes? Might they actually rebound? Might they come second?
Or might we
actually see the Conservatives do better than expected?
Oh, I think I know. Are they going to come in fourth?
Yes. The polls have predicted today that they could indeed drop lower than the Liberal Democrats, that they could end up, that the party of governance could get such a shocking, it's not really a bloody nose. People say, oh, they're going to get a bloody nose at the elections, but this isn't a bloody nose. This is more like, a fractured skull, a fractured skull, a few cracked ribs, you know, and a broken arm. This isn't just a bloody nose. This is a complete drubbing. This is a beating, a political beating of unprecedented proportions. And I can well imagine that they could end up in a position, an unprecedented position, where a party of governance is pushed to fourth place on the, well, they wouldn't even be on the podium. The podium is gold, silver, and bronze.
Stainless steel? What would they be getting?
I don't know. I think they'd just be flapping around at the side of the podium. Yeah, kind of awkwardly wishing that they weren't there, you know, where they would awkwardly wishing that they weren't actually anywhere to be seen. This is something which, you know, we've never really seen before post-war in the UK. Well, we haven't seen this kind of political
collapse. I want to hear generally. About this when we get back. I didn't give you warning, but we are going to break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And welcome back. So the ruling party, Theresa May's party, poised to come in maybe fourth place in the European Union elections. What an embarrassment. And are any people going to say, well, they've obviously lost their mandate and should call new general elections?
I think that's what will be said. I mean, we're talking here about a political earthquake in two senses. First, you're going to see UKIP, the party that won the last European election, most likely not win a single seat. Now, that is massive, because never, I don't believe, and if somebody can prove me
and
wrong...
And so UKIP now being the party of Sargon of Akkad, Carl Benjamin, and Tony Robinson. So maybe Tony Robinson...
No, Tommy Robinson's not in UKIP. He's not in... He's an independent.
Okay.
You've got to remember here is... Post-Second World War, I don't think we've ever seen a party win an election, then at the next electoral cycle being completely wiped out and not even had representation. That is unheard of. We've seen electoral collapses, but we've never seen a party win a national election outright, then faced electoral annihilation by the end of the next electoral cycle. So, you know, last time, winning outright. This time, not a single seat. We've never seen that before. So that's pretty big. But But we've also never seen a party of governance take power in Parliament and then at a later national election for at a different election, sort of a European election or at council elections, being pushed down and off the podium. We have never seen a party of governance end up coming forth at a national election during their tenure as government. And you've got to remember, this is important to remember as well, that during midterm elections, a party of governance will tend to get a little bit of a bloody nose. So if the Conservatives are in power, they tend, unless they're doing a sterling job, and remember, the party in power is usually blamed for anything that's going wrong. So the party in power usually gets a little bit of a knock at a midterm election. And it's the voters' way of just punishing them a little bit. And, you know, that is a norm. That is something you will see as a regular pattern that exists almost constantly throughout electoral cycles. And the less of a telling off they get at these midterm elections, the better they're doing. And if the unthinkable happens and they actually make gains, that means they are truly popular and they are truly doing a good job and the public is truly embracing what they are doing. So for the Conservatives not to win the European election wouldn't be the end of the world, but for them to come forth would be absolutely, as I said, unprecedented. And it would, you know, it would lead to people really saying what you said. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. It would say to people, you know, does Theresa May have any legitimacy? Do the Conservatives have any legitimacy? As a party, are they fit to rule? Are they fit to hold the office of government and to sit in Westminster as government when they clearly have such low approval ratings on a national level at a national election? And I think those questions will be asked. They will certainly be asked by Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Labour Party. And I think they'll be asked by many newscasters, many journalists. The media and the press will certainly be asking those questions. And I have said for a long time, Theresa May has no legitimacy. The Conservatives have betrayed Brexit. This is a disaster of their own making, but this is a good. It's a disaster for them. It's a disaster for them, but it's a good thing for us, because this kind of political turmoil basically changes the political landscape. You know, when you have some rumblings, you might see a few small rocks roll down a hill. But when you have an earthquake, you change the political landscape. And changing the political landscape in such a major way will lead to normal people changing their voting habits. So what you will find is that people who have voted tribally for generations and generations, who have, I always vote Labour, I always vote Conservative, I'm a Conservative voter, I've never voted for anyone else, those people will be looking at this and saying, you know what, this is different, times have changed, the Conservative Party are so far off the mark, I'm voting for another party. Now, whether that be Labour, whether it be Lib Dem, or whether it be Nigel Farage's Brexit Party, I do not know, but they will be voting for someone else. And if they are voting outside of the standard two-party dichotomy, they are not voting for Labour as the alternative, that opens up huge opportunities for dissident political parties, for non-establishment parties to change the way that people think and to change the makeup within Westminster. Now, to a degree, we have seen this with the Scottish National Party, the SNP. Remember, Scotland always used to vote Labour. It always used to return Labour Party MPs election after election. But as soon as, and I said this, I said, because of the SNP, Labour are going to struggle to ever form a parliamentary majority. And that has been the thing that has hampered them. You've got to remember, Jeremy Corbyn did extremely well at the last general election. I think when polling started, or when people were started being polled for who they were going to vote for, Jeremy Corbyn was a whopping 14 points behind Theresa May. by the end of the by the end of that electoral cycle, by the time people actually went to the polls and voted, Theresa May had rescinded 13 of those 14 points to Jeremy Corbyn. And in fact, the Conservatives polled so badly at the actual vote that they couldn't form a government. They had to go into coalition with the DUP. So what we have here is very, very interesting, because undoubtedly the Conservatives are losing support in an unprecedented manner. But Labour are being blocked because of the success of the Scottish National Party in Scotland. So you're potentially going to see a situation where Westminster is a hung parliament, where there are Labour Party MPs, a vastly reduced Conservative Party, and potentially one of these new startups, whether it be Change UK, the Brexit Party, or even a resurgent Liberal Democrat Party, could hold the balance of power, or several smaller parties will end up having to come together and form some form of coalition to actually form a government.
Well, I'd like to bring up an example from the past, and that's Canada in 1993, not too long ago. And Canada has a system similar to Britain. I mean, it's a parliamentary system, but it's also got the single-seat districts, which tend to favor a two-party system. But like Britain, it's basically a two-party system, but of course, you know, just as Britain has regional parties in Scotland and Northern Ireland, Canada has a regional party now and for the past 25 years or more in Quebec, French-speaking Quebec. In the prior election in 1988, the Conservatives won. They had a very substantial majority, and going into the 1993 election, their longtime Prime Minister Brian Mulroney had resigned, and a woman, Kim Campbell, took over as Prime Minister without an election, similar to the way Cameron resigned and Theresa May took over without an election. And then she called an election and led her party, which had already become unpopular, to a crushing defeat. So they went from being the ruling party on the eve of the election. They'd won 169 seats the prior election and had a few defections, but 156 on the eve of the election. They only won two seats in the election, in the 1993 election. They lost virtually all of their members of parliament, including the Prime Minister, Kim Campbell, wasn't even reelected. And so it was a win, a big win for the traditional Liberal Party, the party that had been the leader of the opposition. But it also was a big opening for these new parties, the regional party Bloc Québécois, but also a kind of a right-wing party in the western part of the country, the Reform Party. And so the thing about this type of single-seat district is it does tend to favor two parties, but if one of the two parties is going to be finishing in fourth place, they're out. And you could have a really, really big shakeup if you have national elections anytime soon and the sentiment of the country is similar to the sentiment that would produce the types of outcomes we're expecting on Thursday.
Well, that's I don't really know much about Canadian elections, but
you're not missing much.
You're not missing. No. Well, but I do think that could be mirrored here in the UK. I think that the Conservatives, who have seen high-profile defections to the Brexit Party, could end up losing just enough seats to make sure that Labour, who potentially may lose seats as well to the Liberal Democrats, who are staunchly Remain, and who, because you've got to remember, Labour in an interesting position here as well in the UK, in that although the vast majority of their MPs are staunchly remain and are very much upper middle class, quite wealthy, out of touch liberal types, the vast majority of Labour supporting areas are in fact white working class. And these MPs who are meant to represent these white working class areas, these MPs are completely out of touch with the white working class. So the areas they represent are staunchly Brexit. So you have areas in the UK which overwhelmingly voted to leave who are represented by absolutely unrepentant Remainers. And because of that, you might see some of these Labour areas be hit hard. And because of this, Labour haven't really taken a side. They've been having this kind of like this little civil war and, you know, an internal battle, you know, internal conflict, where they were arguing amongst themselves to whether they should come out and support Remain, as many of their MPs want to, or whether they should try to stay neutral and say, look, we are neither Remain nor Leave, but we are basically saying we should leave because that's what the people voted for in order to please their supporters. But because of this, they are not going to take people who are militant Remainers on board. The militant Remainers are looking for a party that will nakedly say, we will repeal Brexit. We will just put a stop to it, and that's it, the end of that. And that's what the Liberal Democrats have said. So the Liberal Democrats are going to pick up hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of militant Remainers, because they are the only ones who openly support this massively anti-democratic push just to overturn Brexit, and that'd be the end of it. So it's a very complex situation, and even as someone who enjoys analysing politics as much as I do, I find it difficult to actually say exactly how it's all going to play out, because you are going to see some more liberal Labour Party supporters vote Liberal Democrat. You are going to see many Labour Party supporters who voted Brexit vote for the Brexit Party. You are going to see huge numbers of Conservatives who are Eurosceptics vote for the Brexit Party and completely abandon the Conservatives. I mean, in the last round of elections, the Conservatives, these were council elections that happened earlier this month, the Conservatives lost over 1,300 seats. I mean, that was unprecedented. I mean, Labour lost 82. The Liberal Democrats gained, I think it was around 700. So what you're seeing here, as I said, is a complete reshaping of the political landscape. And as the political landscape is reshaped, some of it seems to be happening in quite a chaotic manner. And you can predict how certain things are going to work out. You can predict broad brushstrokes. But there are certain fine details that I don't think anyone will be able to predict. And I do think that the Conservatives are, one thing I am going to predict is that I do think the Conservatives are getting themselves into a position where the damage that they are doing to themselves, the PR disaster that Theresa May has been, will stain that party for generations and may in fact actually lead to the Conservative Party never ever going back to its former strength.
Mm-hmm. So if the Conservatives come out and finish in fourth place, obviously there'll be calls for general elections. But besides that, is there going to be pressure for Theresa May to step down? Is she viewed as being even more unpopular than her party?
She's what's destroyed the party. Now, this is the crazy thing, though, Patrick. This is the absolutely insane thing. Theresa May, when David Cameron stepped down, there were several people who could have stood for leadership, and the Conservative Party selected a Remainer. They did not select someone who'd campaigned for Leave. And Theresa May is not only the most, probably the most unpopular post-war politician. I mean, I know Margaret Thatcher was unpopular amongst the left. The left hated her like they've never hated a prime minister before. But she had support. There were people who loved and still do love Margaret Thatcher. So I would say Margaret Thatcher wasn't so much unpopular as she was a polarizing character. Whereas Theresa May seems to be hated by everyone. She's hated by her own party for the damage she's done to it. She's hated by the people who want to leave, the Brexit voters, because she supported Remain and she's delayed Brexit. But she's also hated by the Remainers because she hasn't completely abandoned Brexit. She's just got everything stuck in this kind of mire of her own making. And I think she is definitely the most roundly unpopular post-Second World War Prime Minister we've had. And the damage she's done to the Conservative Party is probably irreparable, and certainly irreparable in the short term. I think if she comes, if the Conservative Party dip as low as fourth, because they came third last time, if they dip as low as fourth, she will have to resign. There's no two ways about it.
Okay, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about who might replace her.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake?
And we are back. So, Mark, Theresa May, if she gets a drubbing in the Thursday elections and there's pressure on her to resign her position as leader of the Conservatives and thus Prime Minister, who is poised to replace her?
I don't know. Now, Boris Johnson, who was someone who was a campaigner for the Leave campaign, he is the person who seems to be going for it. And I think the Conservatives, if they want any chance of recapturing any goodwill from the public, they would need to elect a leader. They would need to elect a leader who is absolutely pro-Leave, who is for hard Brexit.
Mm-hmm. And Boris Johnson would leave?
Yeah, he was he campaigned for Leave.
He would carry through on it?
I think he'd have to. I think whoever they elect has to be a staunch Leaver who was publicly Leave, who is willing, if necessary, to go hard Brexit, and who will actually put his foot down and take something back from the Brexit Party. If they were foolish enough to elect another Remainer, I think that would basically almost. To draw an analogy, it would almost be like a beaten man lying on the floor, you know, and the man who would beat into the floor saying, have you had enough yet? And the beaten man looking up and saying, no, and then spitting at the man who's just knocked him to the floor, more or less saying, give me another kicking while I'm down because I'm that despicable. And that would be almost what the Tories would be doing if they were to choose another Remainer, and especially one as obnoxious, robotic, and completely vile as Theresa May.
Okay. I got a kick out of that. She is, and not much of a looker either.
She's disgusting. And what's worse is
looks like a zombie.
The way she talks, if you actually look at her when she does these little scripted pieces about Ramadan or, you know, opening a new Holocaust Memorial Centre, the way she speaks, it's almost as if she's an alien that has observed, that doesn't understand human emotion, but has observed human emotion from watching films and television. So she's like an alien that's observed human emotion and is trying to pass herself off as human by doing things that she considers human in front of a camera. And it comes across almost uncanny, almost you know, a little bit creepy and twisted. And because of that, people don't like her. People despise the woman. On every side of the political spectrum, she is despised. I would even go as far to say that she must be, you know, opinion poll-wise, probably scoring the lowest opinion poll ratings of any sitting prime minister post-Second World War. That is how disliked that woman is. There's no one out there who sees her probably even as human, to be honest, let alone as a good leader.
Democracy in action. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we gave a little promo to your show earlier. It's going to have Richard Spencer on it. That'll be a lot of fun. And how do people find your show?
They find my show by going to my YouTube channel. So go there and find out what I've been talking about and watch my latest video on the Muslim man who spat in the face of a white baby girl and a judge let him walk free.
Let him walk free. Was there a full week of media coverage of it as an outrage, just as, you know, the white kids smiling at an Indian received?
I don't think there was anywhere near as much media coverage over that genuine, sickening, racist assault as there was over some young boys in MAGA hats smiling, which shows you or tells you everything you need to know about the vile anti-white media.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.